Good morning. I have a lot of slides that I'm going to be going through, so I'm going to go through them pretty quickly, but hopefully they'll be quite informative for you. I have no financial disclosures. The Ohio Research Association for Public Health Improvement, which from this point forward I'll refer to as RAFI, is a grantee of the Public Health Practice-Based Research Network, a national program of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. I'd also like to thank, in particular, program coordinators for this project, including Eileen Drabowski and Michelle Menegay. RAFI is a public health practice-based research network, and this is an organized group of Ohio public health agencies. We are one of 12 funded public health PBRNs. There are also 12 affiliates nationally for a total of 24. Public health PBRNs support development and dissemination of evidence-based public health practices. The purpose of RAFI revolves around our groundedness in public health practice, involves ongoing collaborations with public health research centers. We conduct rigorous applied studies and identify ways of improving the organization, financing, and delivery of public health services in real-world community settings. This is a brief look at our leadership. And the rationale for the approach that we're taking is that there is a lack of credible evidence regarding types and levels of workforce, infrastructure, and related resources, financial investments in public health. We seek to offer evidence to provide a rational approach to the changing public health system in the face of health reform. The purpose of this particular study is to characterize public health practice, structure, process, and outcome of local health department role in foodborne illness prevention, investigation, and management. The presentation that I'm doing today will focus on the prevention end of that spectrum. Secondary purpose of this study is to examine the accuracy, practicality, and differential utility of a direct observation approach to understanding the complexity of public health practice while reducing error variation. Rather than always using self-report, this approach is intended to increase the accuracy of the information we gather through direct observation. This methodology has been used widely in medicine and in healthcare settings, but to our knowledge, this is the first use of this direct observation methodology in local public health. Part of what we're doing is seeking to examine myth and reality around the issues of sanitarians. Some of the myths that we believe are myths involve sanitarians being nothing more than mayonnaise police, food service establishments hating inspections, relationships between sanitarians and PIC. PIC is person in charge of the food service establishments are contentious, and that little is really accomplished during food inspections. We chose foodborne illness as an archetype in public health for looking at direct observation methodology for many reasons, including that enforcement is among the 10 essential public health services. Food safety is among the CDC's 6 winnable battles. And for many people, food service inspections represent the face of public health. As most in this room might know, CDC estimates that roughly 1 in 6 Americans are affected each year by foodborne illness. About 128,000 are hospitalized, about 3,000 die. There's a profound economic burden as well, with about 1,600 per case and $77 billion the aggregated annual cost of foodborne illness. The structure of our study involves 7 public health, academic public health programs with an identified Dolph liaison at each program, regular conference calls. Each of these 7 sites, which are distributed throughout the state of Ohio, have 3 to 5 local health departments that they relate to, and each of them has 3 to 5 student observers who have been trained in our observational protocol to examine the issues during food service inspections. These are our different academic research sites. It represents all of the graduate academic public health programs in the state of Ohio. These are our co-investigators who are involved from each of those institutions. We do use a mixed method approach with both qualitative and quantitative interview, observation data, and the intent is to use secondary data to combine with our original data collection and some of the publicly available data that we'll be looking at include sociodemographics of census tracts, the Ohio Annual Financial Report, which details public health spending and workforce numbers, and local health department performance standards data. We will not be looking at any of these today, but we will be examining these as they relate to the outcomes in the different jurisdictions. This is a diagram of the approach that we're taking that I think well describes what we're doing, starting with the epidemiologic triangle of host, agent, environment, recognizing that we're collecting data, or sorry, we're using secondary data, we're using interview, and we're using observation to investigate prevention, investigation, and management. And each of those looking at process structure and outcome in local health departments, the Donabedian model, but with a special emphasis in the center there on complexity. One of the advantages of the direct observation approach is that it allows a different level of complexity to be analyzed in whatever setting it's used. This presentation is reporting on 273 observed food service establishment inspections involving 52 sanitarians, 45 student observers, and 5 of our 7 sites. The first thing I'd like to report on is some of the validity and inter-rater reliability data that we've been able to glean. These inter-rater reliabilities involve our student observer training and observation of a mock food service inspection, and this is the extent of agreement or disagreement of the observations using our observational form of the mock video. You can see generally a high degree of agreement, and you can also see that there are some with lower agreement. For those with lower agreement, we've generally made changes in the protocol to improve the accuracy of those measures. This looks at content of the inspection itself. Sorry, the first looked more at interactions between the sanitarian and the PIC. The second looks more at the content of the inspection. And the third looks at check-in and check-out sessions for the observer, for the sanitarian and PIC. So I hope you have a sense that the observational protocol appears to have reliability and utility in the local health department setting with food service inspections. In terms of our sanitarians, the average age was 38. We were right at 50-50 for male and female. Nearly 20% were minorities, and you can see the duration of time spent working in the field. A bit more than half were generalists, which means they had both food service inspection responsibilities and other environmental health responsibilities, while 45% did only food service inspections. This is how those who split time allocated that time. And I won't bother to read these. For those of you who may be sanitarians in the room, these would all look very familiar. And in the past 2 years, nearly 85% report that they have experience with investigating suspected foodborne outbreaks, and about two-thirds relate that they have experienced verified foodborne outbreaks. Nearly half consider their job very demanding. But in a very positive way, more than 85% report that they are allowed good decision latitude on their job, the ability to make decisions about their own job parameters. Sanitarians who perceive limitations in their ability to conduct food service inspections relate that those limitations are a result of competing demands, the workload being too heavy, relationships within their local health department, and least often relationships with the food service establishments themselves. Among the sanitarians, the males showed a trend towards considering their job more demanding. Women were more likely to feel limited by relationships within the local health department. There were no differences by gender in any other attitudes or experience, no differences by race in any attitudes or experience. The specialist food service inspectors showed a trend towards liking doing food service inspections more than generalists, and specialists showed a trend toward greater likelihood of having investigated foodborne outbreaks in the past. No differences in by gender in any of the other parameters. There was no influence on attitudes about the person in charge or job among the less experienced, except those with less experience felt a greater sense of competing demands and competing expectations on their time. During the pre-inspection interview, prior to each inspection and after each inspection, there was an interview conducted by the student observer. 87% of the sanitarians had previously inspected this food service establishment. Two-thirds of those had a positive history in those inspections. Nearly 7% were defined as heart sink inspections. This is taken from the medical literature of the clinician feeling their heart sink before walking into a certain room. So we asked whether the sanitarians felt their heart sink before starting a given inspection. 94% of the inspections were spontaneous and unannounced, and you can see the variation in risk category. Nearly all were more complicated inspections with risk categories 3 and 4. I'll just let that settle for a minute. You can see the distribution across different types of establishments. And you can see the characteristics of the person in charge. In our setting, nearly all had good facility with spoken and understood English. At the beginning of the inspection, the PIC was generally addressed by name, and the sanitarian generally introduced themselves. 51% had a previous relationship with the PIC. Over 85% washed their hands prior to the inspection starting. 83% interacted with more than just the person in charge. A little more than 20% interacted with patrons. Nearly 90% spent less than 5 minutes at the beginning of the inspection talking to the PIC. And almost 10% of the time, there was a perception that the PIC appeared to be stalling the RS before the inspection could get started. This table describes some of the interactions between the sanitarian and the PIC. The PIC was more likely to admit uncertainty, somewhat more likely to use humor during the visit. The sanitarian, on the other hand, was more likely to interrupt the PIC than vice versa. Voices were raised in anger rarely. And while favors were offered by about 10% of the PICs, they were accepted by none of the sanitarians. The RS tended to have really positive behavior. The use of unexplained jargon was rare, a difference from my own field of medicine. Use of positive feedback common. The use of feedback offered in a negative fashion much less common. Rare argumentation or conflict, rare punitive action being threatened, and feedback occurred privately about three-quarters of the time. These are some of the tools that were used by the sanitarians during the inspections. This is a sense of what the sanitarians actually did during the inspections and a variety of different functions took place, a variety of different actions took place, including the physical actions of squatting or bending, which we've heard from local health department environmental health directors, provides them some utility moving forward because they have some sanitarians who can't squat or bend, yet if that is happening on average four times per inspection, that's problematic. These are some of the actions, the areas that were checked by the sanitarians. And the checkout included observation of spoiled food being discarded nearly 60% of the time, almost always clear assessment and feedback, nearly 90% of the time discussion of an improvement plan, nearly 70% offering food safety education, and more than three-quarters of the time eliciting questions from the PIC during the checkout. I will say if medicine had statistics that it were anywhere near these for doctor-patient encounters, we would be thrilled. On average, more than two citations were given per inspection, so it wasn't just that they were being friendly. On average, nearly two verbal corrections were given. You can see the percentage of inspections that those occurred at. Violations were dealt with during the inspection more than half the time. A follow-up was scheduled to address the violation nearly a quarter of the time, and no follow-up was scheduled at the time of the session for the remaining quarter. Rarely did the PIC question the sanitarian knowledge, judgment, fairness, or authority. PICs and employees were cooperative almost all the time. They were engaged most of the time. And as a down and dirty marker of satisfaction, we see that the PIC thanked the sanitarian at the end of the inspection more than 90% of the time and vice versa almost as often. And on the doorknob syndrome refers to the sanitarian being set to leave and the PIC calling them back for more questions or discussion. This is the duration of the checkout, longer than the check-in, appropriately so. This is the nature of the inspection as reported by the sanitarian. Most were considered easy or very easy by far. As were the interpersonal interactions. So we asked both about the inspection itself and the interpersonal interactions between. This looks at the level of satisfaction with what they accomplished, and again, by far most felt satisfied or very satisfied, only a small number felt that the amount of time that the PIC was available was not sufficient. On more than a quarter of the inspections, surprises or unexpected findings were noted, and you can see that there is at least some concern for a little more than 30% of the food service establishments in terms of future problems. Nearly 90% said that their actions were not influenced by the student observer, but of course that is self-report bias. Limitations include potential observer bias, that these are preliminary findings. We anticipate having at least twice the number of inspections that I'm reporting on today, and that we've not yet looked at tests of association. These are some of the strengths, including the good inter-rater reliability, the geographic spread across Ohio, our future ability to combine our original research with publicly available data. Lessons learned include that the methodology appears to work, that we have rich, intriguing findings that we'll be looking at in more detail. It does indeed examine complexity. Student observers have been enthusiastic about their role in the project and what they've learned, and the sanitarians have also been enthusiastic and don't feel that it interferes with getting the job done. We have also learned that multi-site studies are difficult. As I mentioned, two of our sites are not even in the field yet. IRBs took longer at every site than anticipated, not surprising, but disappointing, and that this study could not have been done from a single site. So that's what I wanted to share with you today. I think I'm at the end of my time. I believe there'll be a little time for questions at the very end of the session, and I'm happy to answer questions then or individually after the session.